The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back. Chucky's Comedy Live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV. In Richmond, appreciate you listening to us on 910 The Fan or 105.1 FM. We're streaming live on the free Odyssey app, and you can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network, brought to you by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. We've got our colleague check-in coming up at 8:20. We'll talk to Craig Hoffman, host of the Craig Hoffman Show on the Team 980. I put up our Junkies poll of the day. That's presented by Scotty's Vodka. Maryland-made, super smooth. Love throughout the DMV. Put that on our Instagram page. Trying to put more content up there. Give us a follow, Sports Junkies Radio. And the poll is kind of what we were talking about, but we need to really explore the cake's jinx factor. Who deserves the blame? Three choices. Cliff Kingsbury, struggling offense.
Yep.
Austin Seibert, missed field goal, two extra points. Or cakes being a jinx.
Well, I mean, I know where these votes are going to come in.
You can vote.
When did you post?
I just posted
it?
Sports okay. Junkies
Cakes.
Radio.
Will you at least acknowledge that you are at least this area's biggest mush?
Mush, I would go with. Jinx. Yeah. I mean, if you believe in jinxes, I just feel like
I don't believe
like,
in jinxes.
Voodoo,
but,
and like.
I mean, you just have.
It's uncanny.
I can agree that I'm a bit of a mush / cooler.
Yeah,
when it comes to making picks on the air,
you're
sure.
A cooler. Yeah,
yeah, I could agree to that.
Valdez put together a montage. Let's listen to it, and then we can open up the phone lines 800-636-1067 because there was a lot of venom towards cakes, a lot of blaming towards cakes, hundreds of comments on Facebook, Instagram, and on Twitter blaming cakes. Here's cakes with some of his predictions.
I'm sorry. Jaden Daniels, he physically can't lose to a Cooper Rush-led team. I'll just put that out there right now.
That sounds like your Tommy DeVito.
I'm not going to do a wacky one-sided bet.
Yeah.
But
why don't you book
mark
it,
this on the tape, Valdez. It's physically impossible for Jaden Daniels to lose to a team led by either Cooper Rush or my guy. It's my guy, Trey Lance. That will not happen. EB, remember.
He's got three touchdowns.
Never forget that I've gone on record saying it's physically impossible, even with a beat-up rib, that Jaden Daniels and company are going to drop a game to the Dallas Cowboys when they need this game at home. Cooper rushed through for 45 yards in the last outing. 45 yards! He was 13 of 23 for 45 yards passing. Yeah. 2 yards per attempt. Never been more confident for the Commanders to beat the Dallas Cowboys than I am for them to beat this iteration that's coming in. If you're scared of Cooper Rush, then you're scared of everything. And trust me, I'm scared of a lot of things. Not scared of Cooper Rush. Not scared of him. Even one scintilla. Not scared. If the Cowboys win, and I don't think it's going to happen.
I don't think it's going to happen.
I may call out Cooper on Monday.
Listen,
you know, I didn't even consider it.
You're brave enough to be here.
There's no brave enough. It's a work day. I'm at work. I mean, that's all there is to it. Never considered, oh my God, I can't handle all the criticism and the calls. I'm going to have to fix being sick. Didn't cross my mind even once.
It's just that this prediction is on the heels of the Alex guarantee.
I know it's
kind of like a progressive jackpot.
Can you play
of jinx.
That one?
I've been living in Coolerville for the last week plus. I completely understand.
Yeah.
Now you.
Wish you'd stay out of the business of proclamations.
To be fair, I think he's picked.
Kind of what I do.
He's picked the Commanders. You probably picked the Commanders every week this season, except for maybe one.
Yeah, I don't know. Oh, he never gets injured. Go look at his numbers. Go look at the games played.
Yeah. But it's not just picking the Commanders I think they're going to win. No, the bravado comes with his stupidity.
I had a lot of swagger about the Commanders, and I felt like I should have.
You know what it is?
Because the Cowboys, they were an abject disaster limping in here.
It's also.
And somehow, the Commanders let them beat them.
How much do you blame Cakes? 800-636-1067. It's also your quarterback snobbery, which I generally agree with.
Quarterback
when there's a matchup and it's against a backup quarterback, that's when Cakes really likes to puff his chest.
Yes.
So last year it was Tommy DeVito.
Because generally, your starter, your number two overall pick, should help lead your team over, how old is Cooper Rush? A 32-year-old never was. That's what he is. And that's who the Commanders lost to.
I'm with you.
And you know what? That is not my fault. That is the Commanders and the coaching staff and everybody that works for the Commanders, whether you wear the uniform or not, that's their problem to deal with.
Right.
Not mine.
I'm just saying
that. If you think I'm a jigs, fine,
that's,
a cooler, whatever.
I'm saying that's when your bravado really comes out.
Yeah, it does.
And you're right. What should happen is what happened to Tommy DeVito yesterday.
Right. Yes. Correct. A number one pick, Baker Mayfield, goes in with a superior team. And
that's not even a good team because they're sub 500.
Completely dominates Tommy DeVito and company.
Right.
That's what should have happened in Landover yesterday. Turns out the offense didn't feel like taking all the gifts. The Cowboys are like, oh, you want the ball? Here. You want the ball in good field position? Here. We'll give it to you. But you're not going to do anything with it. You're just going to squander it. I guess that's my fault. I guess that's my fault, too. That I couldn't help Jaden Daniels and company convert with really good field position throughout.
The thing that irritates...
I can take the blame.
The thing that irritates me the most is I'm not a huge fan of our defense, but honest, and they didn't play great yesterday, and Cooper Rush had a 117 rating and everything, and you know, best numbers of the year by far, best numbers probably in 3 years. The defense only gave up 20 points. Am I right? They only gave
up
20 points.
Hey.
The offense is what's sabotaging the team.
Okay, all you Commanders fans out there, who are you going to blame when Will Levis comes into your stadium next week, when he comes in and gets sacked 10 times, but still leads his team to a win? Not going to have me to blame. Not going to have me to blame for that.
I might not pick Tennessee now. I'm on the fence, but Cake seems like he's picking Tennessee.
Maybe I should just guarantee Tennessee wins.
No.
Maybe I should do that.
No. You can't.
You got to go with your tickle.
I'm going to take a little hiatus from a proclamation business. And let's just see what happens.
But you can't
do
that.
Let's see what happens.
You can't go on hiatus from predictions and proclamations.
Yo, maybe I'll be Blink 182.
That's in the job description. That's in the job description.
No, I just don't have to. I don't have to make a guarantee that one team will beat the other.
All right.
Even though it's kind of my brand.
Let's go to Scott in Hagerstown. A lot of people actually threatening violence. I don't want to promote it, but let's just go to Scott. Scott, what's up?
Hey, EB, it's good to talk to you. You are now my favorite.
It used to be Cakes?
Yeah, it was. Because, you know, I'm short, and I have a beard. And it is what it is.
Bombs.
Don't curse,
easy,
man.
Easy there, my friend.
Don't curse.
Hey, you know what? This is what I need to toss about these is IJS. It's just sports.
I actually thought about that when I was hitting balls. Because I didn't even really watch the 4 o'clock.
Yeah.
I had no interest.
Right.
I was just like, whatever.
It's only three games. I mean, your emotions were toyed with during the first 3 hours.
I'm going to be completely honest with you. and people don't like this, I enjoyed the last 5 minutes because it was at least entertaining.
Right.
It made it a little more palatable
right.
for me. I know people don't like that, but that's true. I just kept thinking, though, what do I care? I got beautiful kids, beautiful wife, great, you know, I golf every day. What do I care?
Right.
Why does this bother me?
Right.
It's just sports. All I was thinking about, IJS.
Yep.
IJS.
It's a great brand.
Let's get the beanies ready, Valdez.
Yeah. And what do I care?
You know? I'm upset at you, Eric.
Because?
I feel like you should be taking it up with cakes more than what you're doing right now.
No.
Like after the first drive, you're tweeting, this is all.
Cakes.
Yeah, you blame cakes. Now you're sitting back there feeling sorry for him.
No.
This loser cursed your team.
No. I don't think he's a curse.
Hey, now you're jumping it off the top
rope. Well, no one else is jumping off the top rope. He cursed you.
No.
He cursed you. He's 1-3 since wearing the dumb Dan Quinn outfit. He cursed you.
How dare you? That was a good Halloween outfit.
But I do think it's a litmus test. Like, were you sad yesterday or no?
I mean, I was disappointed. I wasn't as, I'll be
you
honest.
You can't baptize him. He doesn't care because he gets Jaden fantasy points for Hail Mary.
He's gaining rushing yards. So
your team got sullied by the curse of cakes.
I wish you guys
You should be
heard.
Angry.
My oldest son called at the end, and his voice just had so much anguish. I mean, he was like,
you
why?
Didn't feel that.
Like, I mean, I don't think I felt it at his level, but he's like, why did they kick it to Turpin?
Right.
And I just felt his pain through the phone line.
Right.
But again, Commanders Nation, please blame me. Please pile on. No. I'm the mush. I'm the cooler. Whatever.
Here's the thing. This is what I honestly think, that we should be capitalizing on it again. But I know it's torture for him. He'll have the face for 3 months.
If you guys resurrected alwaysbetagainstcakes.com and just profited, I would just hop on board and profit with you.
He doesn't even understand his own bad aura. Cakes can't hop on and like it's cakes.
It's stuff you have to listen to your core.
Yes, you
like,
have to
when
listen.
You're all in.
Yeah,
the instinct is so bad.
Mm-hmm.
He has to be resolute in something. It has to be natural.
Let me just point out, everybody picked the Commanders to win.
Right, but we at least saw scenarios where we could lose. We saw scenarios where we could lose. Good. Every time I picked the Skins, I said, I'm scared about this game. Now, I'm scared about a lot of games, but I can see. But I've been down this road for 30. I see terrible losses.
You should be scared about the Titans game. You seem very nonplussed by the Titans coming up next.
You're not going to like this.
They're the Titans.
They're the Titans. So, okay. I'm picking us.
What?
Listen, you can blame me. I'm picking us. Could we lose? Of course we could lose. We lose all the time.
I know, but
all we've done is lose for 30 years.
But Cakes doesn't set up his picks like that. He's calling it physically impossible.
I know. He goes all in. He goes so hard. But I was more resolute
and had more conviction than everybody else. I was just turned out to be on the wrong side of it.
When did it dawn on you that this was not going to end up in your favor?
In the first half, when Dallas just kept gift-wrapping the ball and doinking kicks off the field goal, off the uprights, and Brandon Aubrey, one of the best kickers in the league, just missing field goals left and right, and then the Commanders still either had 0 or 3 points.
Yeah.
And I said, well, they're not taking advantage of these opportunities, and it's going to bite them on the ass. And of course,
it's physically impossible, even with a beat-up rib.
All right, hold on, let's go.
The Jaden Daniels and company are going to drop a game to the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah. Let's go to Allen in Suitland. Allen, what's up?
All right. I think we need to do a social experiment and have Cakes recuse himself from ever picking the Redskins again, at least this year. Do it like the national guys do when they say, well, I'm calling the game this week, so I can't make a pick.
You know what?
I guarantee you know what? 5-0.
I'm fine with that. You think I care whether I pick the Commanders to win or lose? You think it makes me lose 1 second of sleep? Of course it doesn't. If everybody wants me to sit on the sideline and not make a pick, fine. I don't care. Doesn't bother me one bit.
Get in the face.
Weirdos.
He got it. 8:15.
Bizarros out there.
Yeah. CK, our program director, wants to break the jinx by smashing the Raiders lamp. On the air, he thinks it'll reverse some juju, something you love.
Like an exorcist?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We got to do some sort of jinx exorcism.
It did make me laugh. One of the comments guy said, I should just go F my Raiders lamp.
Stop picking this game. Just go F my Raiders lamp.
No, there is something to it where we need to figure out how to break it.
You can do whatever you want. You
what,
can
break the
you
curse.
Can,
yeah, yeah,
you
yeah.
can bring in
curse.
A shaman. You can.
I don't think you can.
You can
be.
Bring. You can give
I
me some crystals.
Possessed.
It doesn't matter. Yeah. You can bring a priest in here and try to perform an exorcism. I don't care.
You have a black cloud that follows you around everywhere.
Maybe. Listen. Maybe that's the case.
I don't want to make it about me again.
Yes, you do.
Just go
you
ahead. It's
do.
Fine.
You notice when I picked the games. I was a little bit off, like before the season started. Like, I think maybe I had him 6-3 or whatever, but I had a second half swoon. You guys mocked me. You're like, oh my God. You
have why do you always say we mocked you?
You did. Go to the tape. You're like, you have him 6-3, but then you have a swoon. I literally called this. I called the swoon. I live this every year. This always happens.
Usually they don't get out to a 7-2 start. In fact,
but I had a very good start and a swoon.
It was the first time since since 98.
I honestly think my instincts are the direct opposite of Cakes.
Hey, I got to get out the back patting machine for Bickle.
Thank you.
I went back this morning to listen to some audio from May of 2015 when the NFL moved the extra point back.
Oh, is this going back. The
wrong way? No. Bickle said he hated it and it was stupid because there's going to come a point in time where you're going to lose a game by a point because something that everybody thought was a gimme now has been moved back to 33 yards. Yes, JP was like, this is a non-factor.
No.
We should never even talk about this.
It infuriated
me. Lurch was like, 94% from 33 yards out. JP goes, I go to the bathroom during 33-yard field goals.
Right.
And Bickle goes, we're going to lose a game because of this dumb extra
point. That's going to happen, but
they just took
it's chance. Minority.
They just added more chance to the outcomes of games.
Kickers were bad yesterday overall in the league.
Right. Yeah, well, you knew that was right, though, right? Did you think I was wrong?
Well, I think most people just kind of forgotten that those things used to be gimmies.
Yeah.
Well, that's why they moved it back. Fairbairn missed a game winner that was a chippy, and there were multiple blocked field goals. It was a bad day for kickers overall in the league.
One. And Cakes.
I don't know. I see JP's going back and forth with Cody. What did Cody used to do here? Was he a producer? Was he an intern? What was he?
He was a Granddaddy producer.
Okay, he was a Granddaddy producer. I mean, I know Cody.
No, he was no, B. Mitch and Finley.
B. Mitch and Finley.
Sorry, yeah.
Okay,
sorry. Yeah, right
producer.
After.
Okay. I mean, I know Cody, but Cody, whatever his name is. I'm sure he's going to attack
too.
Me now, but I mean, I know him. I didn't know what he did.
All right, what about him?
Okay, he's going back and forth with JP and he did some AI-generated stat from Google, maybe it's true or not, that two-point conversions are only converting at a 31% rate. Is that true? I thought the general notion was 50%.
But I think
is that proven to be incorrect?
I don't know about this year, but he did make a good point in that tweet that you just went 90 yards down the field and you're setting up to get a two-point conversion after everyone's exhausted from sprinting down the field. You're not going to have your best play right
I now. Just think it's just why throw a game to what I thought was a 50-50 proposition. If it's a 30-70 proposition, you guys still want to do that?
No, you got to kick
me.
The extra point.
Yeah, I'm an extra point
kick
guy.
The extra point and beat those bums like you should have for the first four quarters. I said this earlier in the show, if you're just tuning in, when we finally scored, I was like, oh, good. Now all is right in the world. Everything's organized again, and we'll beat their asses in overtime. Oh. I never for even one iota considered going for two.
Here's when you go for it. A couple years ago when Ron didn't go for it in Philly, when you were a big underdog, he went for one
that's
instead of
different.
Two. That's when you go
right.
for
right.
it.
That's, what,
not
that's
yesterday.
The distinction that I'm making.
Right.
If like, we're went, the dominant team.
If they went for two and didn't get it yesterday, they would be roasting Quinn, saying, you idiot,
yep.
we were the better team.
Yes.
We had finally
you
got our mojo back.
You do it if you're going
back.
Against like an undefeated team or some juggernaut. Yeah. They're the freaking hapless Cowboys. And we think we have to have some gimmick two-pointer to beat them? F off. We're going to kick the extra point, and then we're going to kick your ass in overtime.
I see between.
That's how I thought of it.
I see the answer as being between, and this is not specific. It says the success rate of a two-point conversion in the NFL is estimated to be between 40% and 55%.
Who's
across
saying
the 2018 and 2019 NFL seasons, teams converted two-point conversion attempts 49.4% of the time.
I need a larger body of work. Give me a five-year run. Go to StatMuse or one of these. You have Canva. Go to something. Grok. Go to some AI thing.
I've never used Grok once in my life. I don't know which is worse, Grok or Gronk.
Every time I see Grok, I think Gronk. Yeah. I don't even know what it is.
But there are other factors. Yes, that's a factor that you were running, but the defense also was running down the field. I feel like you got the momentum. You also have Jaden Daniels. So what's the success rate of Jaden Daniels on fourth downs and two-point conversions? I think it's very high.
Well, our third down conversion has been pitiful.
And you just converted it. I don't know.
I mean, you don't think that they were aware that if they do a two-point conversion, they're probably going to run Jaden out wide and do something?
I think they were on their heels. They couldn't believe what had just happened to them.
Hey, I'm just glad this conversation shifted away from me.
They still were on their heels.
No, Cakes, don't think I didn't forget. I'm an elephant over here.
I just hit him
more ways than one. But don't think.
What, Valdez?
No, I mean, just Cakes is getting off scot-free. That's all. I'm noticing this.
Coming up next, it's time for our
run out.
Colleague check-in. We'll talk to Craig Hoffman, host of the Craig Hoffman Show on the Team 980 on a Misery Monday, brought to you by Chenega Miles, a 2024 top workplace. Visit careers with MIOS.com. Welcome back.
Hey, it's Mark Schler with the Stink of Truth podcast. The NFL season is in full swing, and I'll be here to break down all the action like no one else can. Follow and listen to the Stink of Truth podcast on your free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan on a Misery Monday, brought to you by Chenega Miles, the 2024 top workplace. Visit careers with MIOS.com. We've been talking about the Commanders' latest loss. That's three in a row. They dropped to 7-5 as they lose to the Cowboys 36-24. They were favored in this game by 10.5, 11 mm-hmm. points.
Yep.
Cowboys had been giving up 35 points a game, had been getting gouged on the ground regularly, so that's what we expected to happen on Sunday. It did not happen. Joining us to give us his perspective is our pal Craig Hoffman, host of the Craig Hoffman Show on Team 980. What's up, Craig?
What's up, boys? How are we doing?
Good. So Hello. You break doing down well. Film a lot more than us. You talk to Logan Paulson on the regular. You do your show with him. What are you seeing from this Cliff Kingsbury's offense overall, where they have now sputtered for 3 weeks straight and maybe even 5 weeks if you want to go that far back? What are you seeing overall, big picture?
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest thing is just the lack of first and second down efficiency, right? So the basic easy stuff that they had earlier in the year, the run game specifically, is not there right now at the same level. And so that gets you into third and longs, and then they're facing more pressure. I've watched about the first quarter and a half of the film from yesterday, and like the offense was better than I thought it was going to be based off of the production, the output, how it felt at the time. But then you get in these situations where you have one bad run and you're in a second and long, and then you have an incompletion. Now you're in third and long, and then here's Micah Parsons blowing up a play, and now you're punting even though you got a first down earlier in the drive and things look to be rolling. And so I think that's the biggest thing is the run game, the design running back run game is just not anywhere close to what it was earlier in the season. And I just think it's an execution thing, which isn't always just the players not executing, you know, the coaches putting them in optimal situations or you know, is the teaching falling off or what, you know, are they not correcting mistakes? I don't know what the reason is, but the inability to run the ball effectively, and a part of it's obviously Brian Robinson is hurt in the last couple games and then gets hurt on the first play of this game. But still, it's just not giving them the prime optimal second and short, third and short, or not even getting to third down type of situations when that's how they lived earlier in the year.
How about the fact that Terry McLaurin has only been targeted 6, 2, and 6 times during the 3-game losing streak dating back to the Pittsburgh game? It's just not enough. I mean, you look at some of the elite wide receivers in the game, and those guys get targeted 10-plus times per game. He's had one 10-target game the entire season, and that was back in late September. Do we need to see an uptick in Terry targets going forward?
I mean, this has been a train that I've been on for years. I'm like, I know that Terry is not Justin Jefferson. I know that Terry is not CeeDee Lamb, but he's really, really good. And what would happen if you treated him like that? I'm just curious. I don't think it's actually the best way for an offense to run to get him, you know, 15 targets a game, but somewhere in the 8 to 10 range feels like a good idea for sure. And I think part of it though goes back to what I was talking about. Like, you have to have the play volume to get that many targets. Like, the percents are not as far off from some of the top guys as you would think, but it's because they're only running, you know, 50 plays a game or whatever because they can't get first downs. Like, if you don't have a 9-play drive, there's not a lot of opportunities to get anyone the football. You can't stack carries, you can't stack targets, you can't stack anything because there's just not the plays. And so I do think percentage-wise, I would like to see him get the football more. There are some plays, even in the first half, that I've watched back now where they're throwing the ball. You know, they kind of got mirrored routes on either side, and it's a stop or a go. And Jaden chooses to throw to Noah Brown. And maybe they like that matchup better on the corner 31 for Dallas. Maybe they like that a little bit better, but I would trust Terry in those situations. He's really good at running those vertical or, you know, kind of off the vertical stem where it's you threaten deep and then stop. He's more sudden than a guy like Noah Brown is, which is really important on those routes. He's more sure-handed in contested catch situations. So that becomes an issue there for a couple times on Brown. So I would just like to see him, like the short answer, Cakes, is yes, I would like to see Terry targeted more, but I do understand some of why he's not, and it goes back to the stuff that we've talked about.
Didn't you expect to see a bigger bump from Austin Ekeler yesterday in both the rushing and passing game when B-Rob was clearly affected by getting folded over early in the game? I thought it was just going to be a huge Austin Ekeler game from there on out. And I think they need to target him more because he's not a guy that you want to give 10 to 12 carries to. You want to give him 5 to 7, maybe 10. If the starter goes out, he gets more. Like, I thought he should have been more involved once B-Rob was clearly limited.
Yeah, I mean, the thing with Austin is he's not a great, like, running back, right? Like, he's not a guy that you're going to give duo and inside zone and all these different looks to and expect it to go great. He's a space player. And so if you want to change up your offense and then go, all right, we're going to hit a few more screens. The problem is, like, if I'm Cliff, I'm scared to call a screen because we got picked on one earlier in the game. Like, that's not going to make me feel very confident that we're going to execute that at a high level. And our screen game has been a mess for 3 weeks for a variety of different reasons. So I know everyone wants to crush Cliff, and that's what happens when you lose and your unit's not really performing that well. So I get it's part of the league. This is not necessarily a defensive Cliff. It's just an empathy and an understanding to go, man, if I was him right now, I don't know what I'd call to feel good because they're mistargeting runs. They are not, you know, holding and sticking blocks well on that stuff. The screen game has been a disaster. So I just don't know what to call to feel really good about to get the ball in these playmakers' hands in a way that I feel confident in. That's his job. He's got to figure it out. So that's not saying like, oh, well, I guess they're just going to be bad now. And we'll accept it. Like, they got to figure it out. But I understand the problem here in terms of not feeling great calling a bunch of stuff that worked for me earlier in the year because it hasn't worked lately. And then with Austin, you know, in the running game outside of the screen game and getting him the ball as a passer, I mean, could you split him out a little bit more, try to get him on some angle routes and some choice routes on linebackers? Like, yeah, you could. That stuff can be complicated and hard based off coverages that you're facing. And then the running game is a lot of stuff is like what we call game plan runs where it's more specialty. And, you know, you might be able to hit that once, but trying to hit it time and time again is just not going to work because defenses are going to latch onto it because there's some kind of tell early in the play. And then it's like, oh, well, I've seen this before. Let's go blow it up. And so I think it's just harder to get their run game going without B-Rob. So I think obviously they released Chris Rodriguez for roster spot reasons over the weekend. I assume they will sign him back today with B-Rob, you know, potentially, you know, missing the next game. Austin obviously suffering that terrible concussion late in the game and presumably out for a while. So I would assume that Chris Rodriguez comes back and maybe he can be a guy that can get it going a little bit if B-Rob is limited and some of those more first and second down traditional, call them base runs. And if that's the case, then great. Now your offense is back on track. If not, then it's tough sledding because the Titans aren't good, but they've got some players on defense that can make things difficult.
Craig, let's go to the other side of the ball. Cooper Rush a few weeks ago played the Eagles and had 45 yards passing. He's Cooper Rush. They sacked him one time. He had a quarterback rating of 117. What are you seeing on the defensive side of the ball that's been an issue?
I mean, overall, I feel like the defense played pretty well yesterday. I mean, the 34 is misleading because there's two special teams touchdowns in the final 5 minutes or the final whatever minutes that was.
Right.
And so ultimately, like, they gave up 20 points, and that is not a bad day at the office. But at the same time, like, the lack of pass rush is clearly an issue, and especially yesterday because they, like, the Cowboys were without their two starting guards. Like, where's Daron Payne? What are we doing there? Where's Johnny Newton? Like, you're a rookie, but you're taking on backups and you're a second rounder. And then the other one that's kind of surprising is Dan Quinn has traditionally done such a great job with Micah Parsons. And this year, he and Joe have done a great job with Frankie Louvu of getting good matchups. Well, you got two backup guards. And where's Louvu, you know, the two sack kind of day? And, you know, you say that out loud and it sounds very like hot take sports talk radio type of thing. Like, expect a guy to get two sacks, but it's really like, can you get consistent pressure? And they just didn't.
They had two quarterback hits, Craig.
It's not good enough. And that, by the way, I don't know if you guys caught the very, very end of Dan's presser, but there's kind of a, hey, any more questions? Dan's ready to get, or actually they were like, any more questions? At first, no. He stays sitting down for a second, and then standing goes, the pass rush didn't seem to be getting home. And before he can finish the question, Dan goes, I agree. He slaps the table and gets up and is like, all right, we're good here. So, like, clearly that was something that was very much on his mind and very, very frustrating to him as to why they could not take advantage of a very, very banged up Cowboys offensive line. It's just not good enough. And then in the secondary, like, they need Marshon Lattimore. And
definitely,
that was obvious yesterday. I mean, the touchdown that they give up to Schoonmaker late in the game is a blown coverage by, I think, Chin, but I'm not 100% sure on that. But it happens because, you know, think back to the Pittsburgh game. They don't give help to Benjamin St. Juice late, and he gets beat on the touchdown, right? So Quan Martin's playing the middle of the field as a safety, and he, is right before the snap, sprints over to basically say, Cooper Rush, don't you dare throw a fade ball over to CeeDee Lamb, who's matched up on Benjamin St. Juice, because I am here and I will pick that thing off and or smash through CeeDee Lamb. And then the middle of the field's wide open and nobody carries the tight end up the seam. And that's the easiest touchdown Cooper Rush will throw in his entire career. So that is like the need to do that kind of stuff versus just, hey, Marshon Lattimore's got CeeDee Lamb. Where else can we allocate resources? Like, they definitely need him right now. And so I think the pass rush and the back end stuff is really rough. And then, you know, frankly, Rico Dowdle had a better game. I haven't looked at the actual average.
4.5 yards a carry.
Yeah, but like during it felt terrible. And it's just like, I'm writing down Dowdle for 7, Dowdle for 6. Oh, there's the 2. Oh, there's for 7. And so for a team that really struggled to run the football all year too, the fact that they gave up a ton of rushing yards in this game, not ideal. Even if they bent but didn't really break. That's the thing, is they did enough. The defense did enough to win in this game. The offense just absolutely did not, especially in the second half. Well, and then obviously special teams is a whole other nightmare.
Yeah, but remember, they were fortunate in that Dallas had a field goal that was blocked. They missed a field goal. They fumbled. They had a punt that was blocked. I mean, Dallas was doing everything to give Washington
for
chances.
Sure.
Great field position. So, yeah, largely.
But that's who Dallas is, right?
Yes.
Like, I think that's the frustrating thing about this game. I was talking about this with some folks in the press box yesterday, and it's like, it's not like Dallas came out and, you know, division rival. They got up for the game. They played a great game. The Cowboys played terribly yesterday. That's a bad football team that played bad football, and you lost to them if you're Washington. Like, that's what's hard to swallow about that game, is this isn't a Dallas team that came out and just played their best game of the year. They stunk yesterday, and they still won.
That is true. That's Craig Hoffman, the host of the Craig Hoffman Show. You can listen to him later today on the Team 980. Thanks, pal.
Thanks, guys. Have a great weekend.
Thank
Happy
you,
holiday.
Greg. Thanks,
yep.
Man.
You too, buddy. Oh, disaster cakes.
That was a loss on three levels. I know that I've focused more on the Cliff Kingsbury element and the offense, because it's just disappointing how good they were early in the season, and now the offense punting all the time, three and outs all the time.
They look disjointed.
But,
it's not flowing like it was.
But it was a bad defensive performance, and it was a bad special teams performance. They lost on all three phases.
Yes, they did.
We'll take more of your calls at 800-636-1067 on a Misery Monday, brought to you by Chiniga Mios, a 2024 top workplace. Visit careers with MIOS.com. Time now for our Honda Huddle, driven by your local Washington area Honda dealer. Contact them for a great deal today. Just going to give you some of the rookie quarterbacks and where they are right now. So Jaden Daniels had two touchdown passes. Actually, if you looked at his overall numbers, now he did have the interception on the Hail Mary. And he had two interceptions yesterday. Both of them were kind of fluky.
Well, one bounced off B-Rob's hands right into a defender's chest.
I don't think it was the greatest decision. Like, the defense was kind of right there, maybe not the best throw. But, yeah, I mean, I think that he was kind of hoard by some drops. He finished the day 25 for 38, 275, two touchdowns, two interceptions.
On the year, Jaden's got 12 touchdown passes with 5 picks, completing 68% of his balls, but he also has 5 rushing touchdowns and has now run for 556 yards. Bo Nix up to 16 touchdown passes with just 6 interceptions. He had another 2 touchdown passes in the win yesterday. He has 20 total touchdowns. So that's more than Jaden because he also has 4 rushing touchdowns. Caleb Williams suffered another crushing defeat yesterday in overtime. The Bears have lost on a Hail Mary. They've lost on a field goal, which was blocked at the end of the game.
Yep.
And then they lost yesterday in overtime. He just has 11 total touchdowns on the year, no rushing touchdowns. And then Drake May in just 8 games is up to 11 total touchdowns. I was telling, maybe I said this back on the air. I can't remember if it was on the air or during the break. Last week, you guys asked me if we had a redraft and we did our boards where I think EB was the only one who had Jaden Daniels 1.
Thank you.
Drake May was the top of Jason's board. Mm-hmm. I can't remember Cakes' board.
I think I had Caleb 1, Jaden 2.
But last week I said I would still take Drake May over Jaden. I think I'm going to go back to my original board, which is Caleb 1, Drake 2, JD 3. It's close.
You're all over the place.
I mean, this is what you said he does. I mean, he's a week-to-week guy.
More information.
It's a week-to-week guy.
More information, dude. Caleb's not going to have the numbers, but I'm watching just Red Zone. I'll admit to just watching Red Zone. I mean, you can't watch all the games at once. He seems to have the most next-level throws. And he hasn't had an interception in well over a month. Now, he hadn't had a touchdown in like a month.
Yeah, 2 yesterday.
Yeah, 2 yesterday. But I'm saying if you looked at his game log, it had been a while. It was a drought. But, man, he makes some incredible throws. And EB may prove to be true. Like, he may be a roller coaster because some of the throws he's zipping in with like 2 defenders there. But it appears to me just eye test EB. The guy has more. The reason why they compared him to Patrick Mahomes is he does have more Patrick Mahomes type plays than any of these guys.
Well, he also has better weaponry surrounding him too. Caleb Williams.
He just seems to make, and Jaden has had some incredible plays this year, but Caleb seems to have like just a ton of them.
I just think he's
I was impressed.
I think that he's a human highlight reel, but I do think like those tight throws that especially when they're off schedule and he's running around like a maniac.
I think those
are prime pick throws.
Here's what you're rooting for in just a few days.
Yeah.
The Bears travel to Detroit to take on the Lions. You want the Lions to chew up Caleb Williams and spit him out on national TV.
Well, they should.
JP might flip-flop back again.
I think he's just an up-and-down guy. I think Caleb's an up-and-down guy. Now Dravy and Valdez have been behind the scenes. They got a compilation, apparently, JP. The thing is you could do this for all of us, I think, but you're really doing it for JP here, where he's now jockeying Jaden.
We just said it, you know, before the season, we decided, hey, every week we're going to do a Graydon Jaden segment. It's old hat at this point. Like, he's just legit. Yeah. Now, you got the guy. After all these different quarterbacks, you got the guy.
I mean, I said this last week. I almost feel like it's stupid to do this segment at this point. The kid is a stud.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give him an A. But he is the ultimate weapon. Lamar Jackson has won the MVP 2 times.
Mm-hmm.
Could win it a third time. He's having another good year. Mm-hmm. You've got a Lamar Jackson here. Yep. You have to bask in this.
Oh, yeah.
One player came to this team that changed the trajectory of this franchise probably for the next decade plus.
As long as he can stay healthy.
Jaden Daniels has changed the equation.
He's the truth.
He's changed everything.
Yeah.
Let me just say this to JP's defense.
There's no flip-flop.
Hold on. I believe all of that. I believe all of that.
Right?
Everything JP said, I believe.
But I know you do. Yeah. He doesn't believe it anymore. All you have say is, I was wrong or I jumped the gun. That's
but
all you have to say.
Where's the flip-flop? Because he still can be good.
Now you're taking Drake May over him. You just compared him to Lamar
Jackson. I took
Jackson.
Drake May over him originally.
I know, because you just go with the wind. And whatever the way the wind's blowing, you know, because you can never be
there's
wrong.
There's nuance.
You have no courage, no ground to stand on.
There's nuance. There's
just
also more information.
I was wrong.
I didn't say Jaden Daniels was going to be a bust.
Me again?
Tell me when I said Jaden Daniels was going to be a bust.
By the way, I think I was most correct.
I said all these guys are going to turn out to be good. It's not the narrative 50% fail with this batch.
Tell me when I said Jaden Daniels was number one, and tell me when I said Jaden Daniels was a bust. I didn't hear that. I said Jaden Daniels is going to be the quarterback for this team. He is for a decade. I said he's a stud. Well, he has been a stud. What's the flip-flop?
The flip-flop?
I don't think Jaden Daniels sucks now. That would be a flip-flop.
I'm saying he's great. It's stupid to grade Jaden Daniels. He's a stud.
It was repetitive.
I said
you've got the guy.
Stop flip-flopping.
That's give me the dings. Tell me what I said on that was incorrect.
It's hard for flip-floppers
to stop. Tell me what was incorrect. Okay, I want you to play dings or buzz. I believe the quotes was, you've got the guy.
That's definitely true. Yeah.
He's going to be the quarterback for the next 10 years.
Clearly.
I don't remember the other specifics. I said something about Lamar Jackson.
You have Lamar Jackson on your team.
Yeah. Oh.
What's incorrect?
Well, they don't have Lamar Jackson yet.
No, I didn't say he was.
His skill set looks like
what Lamar. I said, if you probably contextually, was Lamar Jackson, you have a quarterback that you know is going to be the quarterback for the year. You have a stud that's going to be your guy. You don't have to worry about finding that guy.
Who else is dizzy from this spin zone?
You call it a spin zone, but tell me where the flip-flop is. I'm not telling you Jaden sucks right now. And by the way, every time the EB attacked you, I said you were reasonable.
Yeah, of course I was reasonable. I stood my
ground. So where's the flip-flop?
A good grade
example. A flip-flop is, I say he's great, now I say he sucks.
No, nope. Your flip-flop might be, if there is one, is that you would take Jaden over Caleb. He might have caught you in a weak moment there for a couple weeks.
Okay, I'll give you that.
Yeah.
And you're throwing Drake May in there.
He said he's Lamar Jackson. They got Lamar Jackson. Now he's taking Drake May over him? Which one is it?
What I said about Lamar Jackson, play the whole clip. I said that the Ravens have a guy. You don't have to worry about a quarterback. They have their Lamar Jackson, is what I said.
All right, hold on.
Which is also correct.
Would you take Drake May over Jaden?
Yes.
You would?
I said that last week.
That's a flip-flop.
It's not a flip-flop. I always had Drake May ahead of him. Look at my board.
Jaden is my number one. He's been my number one the whole time. And by the way,
get my board.
Jayden. I know, because you constantly change. Of course, in August you had Drake. And then as soon as Jaden was elite in your eyes,
Drake May wasn't playing at the beginning of the season.
And now he's throwing a couple of
picks. You playing clips from earlier this season when Drake wasn't playing.
I'm playing clips from 2 weeks ago.
Tell me when was I asked, would I take Jaden over Drake May? Last week. And I said I would still take Drake May.
Well, I think you're crazy.
I'm lifting Caleb back up. So I am flip-flopping there because I'm back to my original board. Caleb number one.
All right. Listen.
They're all good.
Yeah.
The Bo Nix thing is flummoxing me because
be about me.
Here's what I see about Bo Nix, EB.
They're all good.
No.
I was attacked.
EB.
Attacked.
Bo Nix, to me, has a lot of the RG screen elements. Like, I watch. Now, this week he had two nice touchdown passes and drab points to another one, but he has a lot of what I seem to see of just easy passes.
Hey,
and I don't know how sustainable
that is. Bo Nix is, he's just a gamer. He's almost like Baker-ish. That's what you should say about Taylor Heineke.
There's nothing wrong with making things easy for your quarterback. Like, Cliff Kingsbury, please make things easy for Jaden Daniels. If it's easier to throw the ball to Terry McLaurin on first or second down, sprinkle some of that in.
Yeah.
I'm okay with coordinators and coaches making things easy, especially on rookie quarterbacks, like as they ease their way into the NFL.
Yeah, but they made it too easy at the beginning. I had a big problem with it. All the screen stuff that Cliff did in week one and two, hated it.
I'm with you on that. Jaden throws a great deep ball. Can we see more of it?
He also throws a great ball over the middle. I've seen him
do it.
He's
an accurate thrower. He's an accurate passer.
Please lean into that a little bit more. Yeah.
Where does the season go from here? We'll tackle that next. If you want to chime in, 800-636-1067. The Commanders have lost three in a row. They've dropped to 7-5. Once we were talking about them winning a division and competing for the NFC, now they're going to be scrapping for a wild card spot. Where does the season go from here? Your call's next at 800-636-1067.